Informally, hey, seeing that we have Alec Lenny with us and Barb. Oh, it would be impossible for you to hang around. And Bob Tanis. Okay. So, tell us about Scotty Willie and Tofield. I didn't...
Well, Scotty Willie was down there and told me that he worked on the road.
Did he?
Yeah, him and there was a couple of brothers down there by the name of Scholes. They used to be subcontractors.
Yeah.
And they helped build the railroad for Tofield. And Mrs. Willie was a Miss D. And she...
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And she taught school at a little school called Ketchumut, out west of Tofield. She taught there, I think, for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I'm just sure. When she... And I think that's about time they got married.
Well, now, were her parents in Tofield? Her parents in Athabasca?
No, they were here from Athabasca.
So she was actually in Athabasca.
She's Forrest Day's sister, you see.
And her father,
Bill Day,
had the famous team of moose.
Had that team of moose, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It used to run away every once in a while.
Yeah. And then I never seen them again until I come here to Athabasca. I was so surprised, you know. And met Scotty downtown here one day. We got talking and found out who he was. And Jack McKenzie was the same. I never knew what happened to Jack. He used to run a butcher shop in Tofield. That was before he was married.
That's right.
Yeah, it was him and another Scotsman by the name of Johnson. That was Johnson and McKenzie. They had a butcher shop there. And, that was before the war, you see. And then after, when the war came along, there was a lot of people who disappeared, moved around, lost track of them. One day I was coming down here to by the hotel there, and I see old Jack McKenzie walking along. Of course, I knew him well. Yeah. And Johnson, he ended up with LeDuc. But Johnson went overseas in the war, but Jack didn't. Jack McKenzie didn't go over.
I remember Jack McKenzie as far back as I possibly can.
Thank you. Wasn't he a concert pianist or a beautiful piano player at least?
A good piano player.
Yeah, and wasn't his wife a concert singer or something?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I knew her folks. I didn't know her, but her folks, she come from east of Fort Saskatchewan.
Because mom used to say about going to dances and Jack McKenzie would be there in his tuxedo and looking really posh and playing beautifully.
Yes, I know he was quite a pianist. I don't know what it took to be a great pianist in those days, you know.
Yes.
No.
The level of training and education and all that sort of thing around here was, and basically through Western Canada, you didn't have to be very smart to impress everybody.
Right.
Because nobody, you know, there was...
No. That's right.
No.
But he had learned in England, hadn't he? He had his...
Or Scotland, I don't
or
know
wherever
exactly
he, where
he
came from.
Scotland,
yeah.
But Alec, at that time, you were lucky if you got to grade 8 in school, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very few people.
And your dad helped to capture a murderer. I remember that quite well.
That's right,
Mm-hmm. Where?
That was Albert Lebeau.
Down at Tofield there, or at Ross
Creek. Down Tofield,
yeah, at Ross Creek. This fellow shot inspector.
Oh, I don't know this story. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Your dad was, I'll tell you the story anyway, I know it. Your dad was there first.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of Swedes, the bachelors, the young fellows, lived back up in the hills, and they were very nervous sort of guys, I guess, high strung. And the one fellow kind of went off his rocker one day. So, the neighbors sent for the police, I don't know if it was your dad. And he went up there to take him in. He went early in the morning. He got there before they were out of bed. And he walked in and he says, "Come on, boys, time to have breakfast. Get up and have breakfast." So they got breakfast and had breakfast, and he told them what he wanted. There was Oscar and Swan. Now Oscar was the one that went off, lost his balance. And he told Oscar what he wanted. Oh, sure, he said, I'll go with you. So he went right along, had no trouble. So then your dad was moved. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he went, to Edmonton or where. But they sent another guy in place of him, and I forgot that guy's name. But he was a more officious sort of a guy, you know. And Oscar went off again. And the neighbors used to take great delight, the neighbors' kids, in teasing old Oscar, you see, and they'd get him all excited. He had trapping on the lake here. He was trapping on his homestead. There's a little lake on the homestead there, and he'd trapping there. And the boys would go along and they'd sweat the rat out of his trap or something. Mm. So Oscar kind of lost control of himself. So he took the .22 and he went out, and they were out there, and caught him out on the ice there, and I guess he made them dance. He didn't shoot them, but he was shooting all around my feet, you know. And I guess he really gave them a scare. So then they went home and told her dad, and of course the dad went and reported it.
Yeah.
So this police, I forgot what the deuce was his name. He came up anyway, and he hired the livery team in Tollfield to come up, and they were going to come get this guy. So this little young guy driving the team came along, and they had to go about 20 miles, anyway, maybe 25 miles from Tollfield out there to get him, you know. So on the way out, the police pulled out this revolver, and he says to the driver, he says, you know what that is? And yeah, he says, it's a revolver. Well, I says, you put that in your pocket. He says, what for? Well, I says, you might need it before we get home. And so he got kind of scared, you know. Didn't know what he was up against. He didn't want him to shoot nobody. And they drove up there and they tied the team up before they got to the house. And they put halters on the horse and tied them to the trees there, and they walked up. And this policeman walked up to him, and he just walked up to the door, and he gave it a kick, kicked it open, and he said, come on out. And Oscar was pretty mad, and he says, what do you want? He says, come on out. He says, I want you. He says, I'm going to arrest you. Oscar came out, and he started to put the handcuff on him, and when he started to put the handcuff on him, Oscar threw him. He got mad, and he threw him, took the handcuffs away from him, threw him out in the bush. And they told him, he said, now he says, you can get back off that trail. He says, and get out of here. So he went back to Tollfield and phoned for reinforcements. So they sent, Inspector Bailey. And a couple other guys come out. And of course then the old guy was all excited. They come out there and they started walking up to the house, and he just pulled out and he shot Bailey. And he killed Bailey, but he wounded another one. And then, this other guy from Tollfield, he took off. And fired, so they sent a whole force out. I guess your dad came out. They had a whole posse out there, you know, swearing civilians and everything. And when they were all surrounded the house there, he slipped out of the house and started to run. And one of the posse guys shot him in the calf of the leg. Mm-hmm. But he got away. And he started for Chipman. He went to one of his neighbors and told his neighbor to take him to Chipman to the doctor, to Lamont. And of course the neighbor was scared. He got busy and hit some team and started out with them. So on the way in to Chipman, he met these other group of police coming from the fort. They come around by Chipman. Your dad was in that bunch. Mm-hmm. And he knew who he was.
Yeah.
Right away. He just stopped and talked to him and took him in.
Oh.
And what happened to the guy eventually?
He got life imprisonment. Mm. And when the war broke out, they gave him a chance to go overseas or finish his term.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the overseas. And I never heard of him again. I suppose he was killed, but he never come back anyway. And the other brother, he pulled out to me.
Alec, could you put a year on that story, more or less?
You might have to take that over, Frank, for a little bit.
Well, it was before the war.
It was before the war, yeah.
Probably somewhere between
around 10. Around 1910 or 11, mm-hmm. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, because Dad joined in 1905,
yes.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marv, you told the interesting story about that coronation business, about your dad.
Oh, yeah. Dad was dark, you know, mm-hmm. Like dark hair and skin, and he was a George the Sixth, I guess, coronation, 1912 or something?
George the Fifth was crowned in 1910.
Okay, that's the one then. Yeah. So he was in England in the coronation parade,
mm-hmm.
And he had the red jacket on and the whole bit, and some lady came up to him and said, "Would you say a few words in your native language?" And so he quoted a little Tennyson in his native language, which was English, of course. And I think she thought he was, you know, East Indian or something. And,
See.
And he got a medal then, you know, you got a medal just for being there, which he lost in a parade in Calgary. And one time when I was a little kid, we were in Victoria, and a boy rode up on a motorbike, and his name was on it. And they'd been digging in their garden, and they found this medal. That's weird, isn't it? That was written out. That's in an old Echo, that story.
Is it?
Because they gave him a replacement, but it wasn't the same, because you wanted the one that the king had actually pinned on you, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated to think that Mr. Lenny knew my dad. There's hardly anybody that I know that remembers him, you know.
Yeah. I remember him well.
Well, you know, this type of work that we're doing, just the most amazing...
little anecdotes come out.
Things.
And,
come out and... not a couple, two or three months ago, we had an old guy here from Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Whose grandfather had been on the Klondike Gold Rush.
Oh,
and he was up tracing it, trying to trace his grandfather's footsteps.
Mm.
Did I tell you about that?
Oh, that's fascinating.
I have his address. He didn't have too much interest to us, but he was a retired farmer. I drove around town and we stopped and we had a talk with old Alec Lafferty, who was about 92 or 3. And Alec actually worked on the boats.
Oh, we did, yeah.
And told us quite a little bit of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met a Japanese fellow who had been in the North as a health inspector or something, and we had that picture of Dad standing over the dead body, Otto Bushner, the fellow was a murderer. Anyway, he'd seen that picture up there, and there was lots of old natives who remembered him from Providence or Ray or something like. These people live a long, long time.
Well, now, in Sergeant Thornton's collection of pictures,
mm-hmm.
There's one picture of a grave.
Oh, that's the Fitzgerald Patrol. The Lost Patrol. It's of several graves.
Mm-hmm.
That's one Mr. Tannis.
Bob, do you know where that is?
Oh yeah, that's, we don't know where it is. Yeah.
No, it's in
the
album.
We've got the book, yeah, and it's
in the album.
It.
It's
yeah.
in the album.
It's the Fitzgerald Patrol, the Lost Patrol, you know, the fellows that died, but we don't know where that was. Where did they bury them? See, this book doesn't have a thing down the back. That's why you need policing the attic.
Mm-hmm. I think they buried
Fitzgerald Patrol.
A Claddock or Good Hope?
The Fitzgerald Patrol set out and they got lost and they all froze to death. And it was Inspector Fitzgerald and I've got a story of it somewhere, but that's what that little grouping is.
We could find out very quickly where they're buried.
Yeah, it's got to be in some reference because that was a famous sort of episode, you know, and the fellow, he kept writing letter to his mother right to the last. Like they found the diary. Every policeman had a diary. Like, Dad's diaries are in the archives in Edmonton. So,
It's interesting to know that Inspector Fitzgerald was stationed in Athabasca.
Was he?
He was head of N Division in here.
Well, for heaven's sakes.
For a while. And later transferred, once they abandoned N Division in here, he was later transferred to some other post in the Arctic. That's what happened.
We have a diary from 1910 from the niece, no, the daughter of Colonel Saunders.
Oh, yeah.
Who was in charge of the detachment
really?
In 1910.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a letter from him. I've got to answer one of these days about some stuff that he's turning over to the archives in Calgary. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. That's give you the wrong impression. I certainly haven't got a letter from him. I've got a letter from his grandson.
Right, yes. Well, yes.
Well, in this new book that we are hopefully writing, I drew the police.
Oh, I see.
One of my contributions.
Yeah.
And so all of this is very interesting. We'll have to look up that Fitzgerald Patrol, although it really doesn't mean all that much to us.
Except that if you say Inspector Fitzgerald had been stationed here. Yeah. This Sergeant Jared is fascinated by all this sort of thing, isn't he? He may just know off the cuff.
He doesn't know very much. He is, as you say, very interested, but apparently they're only allowed to keep the records for 3 years.
Oh, really? Oh.
And then where they go from then, I don't know. But he's been very cooperative.
Because I had an English cousin came, and his wife's sister, this is confusing, the wife's sister came to visit me. I didn't know who she was, Mrs. Tracy. Anyway, her uncle had been a mounted policeman here, 1910, 11, or whatever, and he'd fallen down a well and drowned. Slightly tipsy, I think, although we didn't tell her that. And his grave is up on the East Hill Cemetery, but the Mounties here didn't know that grave was there until I went and told them. And I can't think of his name, it begins with a B. Mrs. Minns told me the story. And it's their duty to keep up the graves of fallen comrades, and so they fixed it all up for him, which was nice. But, you know, I went to Auntie Hazel and I said, did you ever hear of William, whatever his name was? And she instantly said, oh, he's the one who fell down the well and drowned. You know, that's when the police barracks was like where Priest's house used to be, next to Ken's confectionery.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of fascinating that Dad was probably stationed here then, and here his nephew, you know, was related to this. They probably knew each other, but never thought that their nephews and nieces would eventually get married. It's confusing, but anyway.
My understanding was that the parents provided a brass plaque.
Oh, really?
And had it placed in the Anglican Church.
Oh.
In memory of this...
Of this fellow.
This fellow who died in the course of his duty.
Yes, well, that's they always say in the course. Well, I must look at it. You know, I'm going to go to church on Sunday.
But I looked in the Anglican church and I couldn't find
it.
So
it's no use looking there then. I'm sure the name began with B. Because we went, I took her up then to see, and we found the plot, but the headstone was, you know, falling to pieces and so on, and they repaired it.
Yes, I kind of remember that plaque in the Anglican church.
Do you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the name didn't mean anything to me as a kid, you see, but when I was, yeah. However, in the Anglican church, there's a whole group of people aged about whenever I was 12. We won't mention that date. But when we were confirmed, Archdeacon Little had our sign our names in this book, and it's all under deaths. So we all signed our name, you know, according to the Anglican Church records.
You're all dead.
Jim Galloway, you know, we're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who would probably agree with that or wish that.
Why did, you haven't changed a bit, why did he do that?
Oh, I think you just got
accident?
Flustered. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He got flustered quite easily.
Yes, do you remember the time that he got a new car? And what was that? Remember there was a thing in the middle of the street between Parker Store and Legion, kind of a Karen or a lamp standard or something?
Yes, sort of a directional.
It was right in the middle. Anyway, Archdeacon Little got the new car and put it in reverse instead of you know, mm-hmm. new car, it's difficult. And zoom down Main Street, backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, fortunately they're not many, you know, cars and things.
They put those standards, I think they put two standards.
Mm.
And they were big, heavy cement things.
That's
and of course
right.
the
yeah.
idea was that
you, would
you
go
kept
around
to the right of them.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody hit them.
That's right. I guess that's why they took it out. Well, Gordon and Vance and I were trying, we were figuring out where all the old hitching rails were in town. We could get most of them. You know, there was one across from Slim Nelson's garage and one over where the curling rink, the first curling rink was. You know, I'm sure that you did. We did. We used to hang, you know, swing on them. Like, because I didn't remember runaway horses and things.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Now I remember Bill Rose going out home and the horse always took him Saturday night and he'd fall asleep and the horse just meandered on.
Something to say for the good old days.
Yes, yeah.
Mrs. Rose is still alive and
is
comes
she?
Around. She
oh.
spent many, many years as organist of the United Church.
Really?
Back in the days when you pumped the organ and Mrs.
Oh.
Rose would sit there pumping away.
The organ, yeah.
And Bill would be in church on those Saturday, on those Sunday mornings when he got up early enough.
Well, now, was Renison's store next to your dad's store? Or was
at
it?
At one time.
At one time, yeah.
At
I mean,
one time
long
it
ago,
was,
yeah.
Yeah. Renison.
Did it burn once or start to burn?
Renison had a big store on the corner where where Dave Gordicek.
The Home Hardware is now.
No.
Oh.
Well, look, that corner where
yeah.
where that grocery store is.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He had a big store there, and that burned. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, this is what Gord was telling me that story. And,
yeah.
And carrying out things. And,
well, there was a guy named Frank Goslin who had a barbershop.
Oh yeah. Well, I know. Well,
Frank,
not Sam.
Sam.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And I think the fire started in Frank Goslin's barbershop and burned the whole thing, and then Renison moved in.
Oh, next
yeah.
to
our store.
Yeah.
And then Melvin Redden bought from Renison.
Oh, that's yeah. And Renison
Richard,
Redden. That's the names so close. Yeah.
Richard Hall bought from Redden.
Yeah.
And he started there, and then Hall rebuilt where the original Renison store was.
I see. That's how.
But old Jimmy was a real card.
Well, now, what about Al Sharp's blacksmith shop? Where was it? Where Emil Dufresne eventually had a body shop or something?
Yeah, about there. It would
about
be
there.
About where, what's there now? Well, Pahalik has that office there. The AGT is on the corner.
Mm.
In fact, it would be right across from the
Ken's Confectionery, sorry.
Ken's Confectionery.
Yeah.
From the old RC.
Yeah.
Our,
listen, whatever happened to the old log church? It became kind of a hall, but is it gone or is it still there or what?
Yes, that's gone.
It's gone. Did they tear
that
it down?
That is gone.
They tore it down.
Oh.
You know,
and
after
we,
Archdeacon died.
Yeah.
We got that there, Humphreys.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to think of who
and
came
he
next.
Was, he was the one, I guess, that had it taken out of there.
That's a shame.
We had a horrible time because we had a horrible time getting a picture out, you know, because we didn't have a picture.
Well, one time Granny Lewis lived in the little house right behind it before they had moved it, and we've got a picture of her standing beside it, but it's just all you see is logs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can remember the log church. That was.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
I used to go to...
But you got a picture, did you?
I used to go to Cubs in that
oh,
church.
Oh, yes. There it is. Isn't that nice to have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just got that a very, very short time ago.
Oh, good. Oh, my goodness. Tiny Shaw is the teacher's
Tiny
name.
Shaw, yeah. That is just about the time I was in school.
I was going to say, are you in this picture?
No. But I know just about everybody
okay,
is in
okay, tell
here.
Me who's in it then.
Ralph Weldon,
oh, gosh.
John Taylor, John Scholte,
oh, yeah.
Barris Richards, who just died, Fred Cowell. I think that was Ernie Gordon. Wilson Miller. Nick Skrenick. And the girls, Ollie Jones, Sylvain, O'Farrell, Hitz.
Oh, gosh.
Jesse Rawlings is in there.
Is
right
she?
There. Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And that's Artie Chapin, Muriel Shoemaker.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Ida Nadskoll. Oh. Helen Keir. I don't know why I wasn't in that picture, because I was...
You were away that day.
I was in. I was either away but or something.
Gee, isn't that funny you can tell Tiny Shaw right off the bat? Yeah. Listen, tell me then. Well, see, my mother was friends with your mother and father. Obviously it was you, but that's kind of cruel of me.
No, that's very, very nasty about it.
Yes, it is. However, now, you know where... it's kind of a rooming house now, but it's across where Jack Burrell used to live on that. And it was next to the next to Hunter's house. There was a great big house. Was that Lessard's house?
That was Lessard's.
And it used to have a big porch around. And Mum said they used to have lovely parties there, and they'd dance out on this huge veranda. It's covered. And it sounded
Is that
so
right?
delightful to me. You know, like, it sounded so nice.
I don't know if there were mosquitoes in that
well,
time
probably there. You know, when your mother tells you something, it always sounds better than it.
That's
who's,
right.
Whose wedding is this? Do you know?
Was that a wedding? Oh, yeah.
Well, yes.
I have no idea whose wedding that was. No idea whatsoever.
Mm. And do you know who these people are?
I suspect that they are elder Gullions. The Gullions were a terrific family around here, you know, at one time. Gullion was one of the very, very earliest settlers.
Yeah. Who is that? You don't know who that
is. No idea. Well, this was definitely Gullion family. Mm. And
that's a nice clear picture, isn't it?
It's a nice clear picture, yes.
Of someone.
I'd sure be scared if I had those people after me. Wouldn't you?
Yes, they're a formidable trio, yes.
No wonder.
They look like sisters.
Yeah. So how long are you up for?
Till, well, we leave Monday morning. Turn that thing off.